Welcome to the Creative Condition Podcast, an ongoing series of conversations and considerations to help people understand and embrace their own unique creativity for fulfilling lives and brilliant careers. My name is Ben Tallon. I'm an illustrator and author, and I bring 16 years of creative industry experience working with the New York Times, The Guardian, the Premier League, and more. And I invite designers, artists, psychologists, scientists, coaches, athletes, sensitivity experts, and all kinds of thought leaders to help us broaden our knowledge of creativity. Creativity is a fundamental pillar of human happiness, a vital ingredient in the solutions to our problems, but so often misunderstood. The show is supported by founding sponsor and B Corp, Illustration X. Take a look at their stunning range of illustrators and animators at illustrationx.com. If you like the music for the show, it's by Dirty Freud, who you can listen to now on Spotify and all good music streaming services. Today I'm going to try something a little different. I'm going to talk about the thread. That's something that I refer to as the unknowable line that knits all of these things that we do when we create with passion, when we're true to ourselves, and when we go forth into the world and hope for the best. This is the Creative Condition Podcast. How are you doing, guys? Morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are, I hope you're well. This is the Creative Condition Podcast. My name is Ben Tallon. I am your host, and this week, something a little different because I'm going to be in Barcelona, Spain, at OFF Festival, a wonderful event, maybe the biggest design event in the world. I might be wrong in saying that, correct me if I am, but it's certainly up there, a huge festival. And I think last year's, which was the first that I spoke at, it attracted 4,500 visitors to the Design Museum in the centre of Barcelona. Over 3 days, bringing people together from 72 different nations. That's beautiful, isn't it? I, for listeners of the show, you'll know that recently a lot of the topics have revolved around community. I talked to Daniel Alcorn and Luke Tong from Birmingham Design Festival, and we had a great conversation about the human innate need for community and positive social relationships. And when it comes right down to it, creativity is something that we have no choice but to do as human beings. And if we want to develop that, if we want to mold our creativity to understand it, it cannot, in my opinion, be optimized without strong bonds, without community, without people to bounce off, to get inspired by and to inspire. So what I wanted to do today is I wanted to just reflect on a personal thread. And when I say thread, I'm talking about a sequence of events with unexpected outcomes that manifested because I put myself into the world, voiced and acted upon my creative desires, and did that with optimism and with trust that at the end of it, it would work. And it's amazing. You could say that about life in general, but I think that particularly in the creative industries, there's so much unknown, because unknown is a good thing when it comes to creativity and exploration, you know? But we shackle ourselves with so much doubt and fear and logic, and we out-logic ourselves all of the time by going, what's the bottom line? But is it going to pay? And how can I be good at that because I've never trained? And all of the other bullshit that we flood our heads with, which is quite an evolutionary mechanism, because we have evolved to recognize and to constantly scan on a subconscious level for threats in our environment. And what that means is we put the doubters on everything. And it takes practice and training and trust and confidence to overcome that. And when I say confidence, for regular listeners, you'll know that I'm referring to confidence as Kimberly Wilson's definition of the brain's ability to predict a positive outcome. And that happens through practice and momentum and constant, you know, reminders that we have succeeded before against seemingly impossible / insurmountable odds. And we can do it again. But we have to feel it. We have to go forward with passion, trust, and curiosity, and embrace the unknown. Embrace luck and fortune, and trust that things will happen. And you know, I believe that they do when you truly lean into that mindset. It's not without doubt. It's not without fuck-ups. It's not without stumbles along the way, that's for sure. But that's what makes it so rewarding. So that's what I wanted to do today. I'm going to sit down with this pot of coffee first thing on a Thursday morning, week before OFF Festival, and I'm going to take you through one of the more magical threads in my own career. And it all emanated from, you know, periods of doubt and confusion and what I thought might be fuck-ups and missteps. So that's what I'm going to do. Quick swig of coffee. Apologies. Big thank you to the founding sponsor of the show, Illustration X. You can check out their global range of illustration and animation portfolios now, illustrationx.com. They play a part in this story, so allow my love letter for these guys to fall within the story this week, please. Also, shout out to the Ukrainian Institute, wonderful organization that I keep shouting about and will continue to shout about, because these guys are wrapped up in a horrendous war. And despite that, their creative community are making magic, and they're doing so with resilience and defiance, but they need our help. In more privileged countries where we don't have to worry about immediate conflict, we can do a lot to help them. It could be as simple as a retweet. It could be a small commission. It could be a bit of advice. It could be a collaboration. Whatever it is, go and delve into their beautiful body of work that's going on at the moment over at ua.org. Hang on, I've gone blank. Sorry, didn't prepare my notes properly. Didn't get the address down. Bear with me one second. But these guys are awesome. So you'll remember the episode with Olya Protasova. And this comes up on today's thread, actually, in this conversation. And Olya, there we go, ui.org.ua. Olya is a designer, illustrator, and design community activist from Kiev. And we had a conversation about creativity in times of war, and then I followed it up with a short story called The Hockney Soldier, having encountered the story of someone who had to go and fight on the front line in the war with Russia and give up, sell their art and design books to a local secondhand bookstore, which was just heartbreaking when you think about that. And the only way I could process that was, you know, through creativity, through a short story that I wrote about how I felt about that, how as I sat there with my art books behind me and pondered that eventuality that I should have to sell these things to go and fight and I might not be coming back. That's profound, and I couldn't process that in a sort of normal conversational way, so I had to write a story, a piece of prose almost, reflecting on what that meant, called The Hockney Soldiers. Go back and listen to that if you haven't already. They are involved in this story today. I know sometimes I can meander in some of my podcasts, but I hope there's going to be great use in this, because the truly great stuff happens when we allow it to. Do you know what I mean? That sounds a bit philosophical. But I think that when we allow ourselves to follow the thread and not question it and not doubt it and not go, well, nah, I just don't see how that's going to happen because I can't put that in a spreadsheet. I can't datafy it. You know, it's that's not what creativity is. It's all about the unknown and chance. But it isn't down to the unknown and chance. It is down to us driving and banging on the door. The point is, we can't always know what the door looks like, where it is, what's behind it. And yet, we have to head for it. Do you know what I mean? Chris Pirate, a few episodes, Washington DC based artist, he said, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm getting there. And I love that. I love that. That you know, when someone can sum up an idea, a confusing amorphous idea, with such so succinct, so crisp. That's beautiful writing right there. He said it off the cuff, but that's writing. Sir John Hegarty, who sort of likened that to good writing, that kind of dialogue and that kind of those phrases. It's all amazing. And anyway, let me get started with the story. First of all, thank you for everyone who's pre-ordered their copy of the Creative Condition book. Doing all right, but it's trickling out. The Kickstarters are all but done. If you're on the Cancel Culture edition, you might still be waiting for your copy. I'm sorry it's taking a little time, because I'm really committing to those and really filling the pages with smut and filth and insults to me and to you as the reader and the writer. I hope it's going to be worth it. In fact, I can guarantee it will. So sit tight. It's all coming. If you haven't sent your address yet, I've got a few stragglers. Get the thing sent to me. Otherwise, why are you backing me? You won't get your book. Do it now. As ever, guys, please do get in touch. I love to hear from you. I love your feedback. If you've got guest suggestions, if you want to pitch yourself for an episode, come and do it. Loads of my guests are people who've just landed on my doorstep going, let me in. I do it. If you've got a cool story, if you've got an angle, I'll have you on. It makes my life easier. So get in touch. hello@bentallen.com, or I'm on the socials. You'll find me easily. Right, quick coffee. The thread. Let's start. So the story begins, the first link in this, and again, this is you can't engineer this, you can't prescribe this to anybody else. This is a unique story. We all have them, they all happen, and they're beautiful. You'll see why this couldn't be prescribed to anybody else, because you listen to stories like these and you go, how the, you know, has that happened? I don't know. I don't need to know. Personally, I believe I'm working for something bigger than myself. I'm doing it with heart and soul, and I believe that when that happens, something I call invisible hands happens. I borrowed that from a writer, Stephen Baycroft, a friend of mine, who referred to this phenomenon, this feeling of flow and serendipity that happens when you're doing something that, you know, is a bit bigger than yourself or is right for you. He called it invisible hands, as in that they're helping you along the way. Can't be seen, they can't be known, but they're there and you feel it and you have to trust it. That's what this story is about. So it starts with the origins of this podcast and this exploration of creativity thing. And it starts in 2015 off the back of my publication, Champagne and Wax Crayons. Long-term listeners to the show will know that it was Harry Lyon Smith, the MD of Illustration X, the founding sponsor of this show, who is a friend of mine, who suggested that it might be fit for podcasting. I'd gone to him with an idea when the agency were launching a news section on their website, which was going to profile behind the scenes of the work their artists and clients were collaborating on. I went to them with an idea that I could maybe cover some of their stories. I could write, you know, I could go and interview them for written interviews like I had done 2 years prior for my Express campaign on behalf of the Campaign Against Living Miserably, in which I interviewed a lot of creative professionals about their artistry and the emotional well-being it brought them. Because I believe that a lot of people were suffering and could be helped by practicing creativity and tapping into theirs. Still do today, that's why I'm doing this show. But I went to Harry with that in mind, and he said, look, no, we don't have a budget for that. We are just doing that through the people who work at the agency, where we're doing it as a little bit of a welcome the clients in, a bit more insight, a bit more behind the scenes kind of thing. However, he said to me, I listen to a lot of podcasts. You talk about creativity a lot. You talk about it well. Have you ever thought about podcasting? Now, at the time, I was caning about 9 wrestling podcasts a week, a handful of design and art ones, and then true crime and all the rest of it, all the cool stuff that goes on in podcasting. And it was still relatively in its advent back then. It's massive today. There's podcasts on everything by everyone, and I think it's beautiful. It's a wonderful ecosystem. But I hadn't considered that. However, and this is the thread, I'd gone to Harry and I'd worn my hat on my sleeve. I'd expressed my deepest creative desires. That's what I was feeling. Because after Champagne and Wax Crayons, I was invited quite frequently to talk at universities and design industry events, and I really liked it. I'm a talker, I'm a social guy. It was a bit nerve-wracking getting up on stages and everything, and there were a few jitters early on and a few awkward moments. But by and large, once I got going, I loved the buzz of live experience and the conversations that it brought me and the relationships that came off the back of it. So I wanted to do it more, and that was my desire. It was real, it was heartfelt, but perhaps more importantly, it came from a place of wanting to see the world improve on a level that I saw great value in his creativity, and I saw people undermining, not understanding, and believing they weren't creative, and I wanted to change that. And I think that when you do it from a place like that, that there's just something. Some people call it the universe. Stephen Baycroft calls it invisible hands. I don't know what I call it, but I feel it, and it's real. And it was at play then because Harry made that suggestion. And my ears pricked. And don't we live in a world where there are YouTube tutorials for just about everything? And we do. So I went away, and I learned. I watched some 14-year-old kid teach me the basics on GarageBand. It's pretty easy. I also was close friends with Dirty Freud, who does the music for this show, Danny Skerritt. I just moved to London. I'd been living with Danny prior to that, on and off, for 5 years. And he had my back. He's like, look, tell me what you need. I'll provide you the music beds. If you find yourself in the deep end, I'll help you out on the audio side of things. Go forth and conquer, was the brief from Harry and Danny. So I did it. It became a Rest All Mimics. I loved it. I fell in love with having these conversations. It gave me a great ticket into going to places and meeting people that I would never otherwise meet. And I just got addicted to covering creativity. And I went forward with that approach. So that was the thing. So, and then over the course of it, all these relationships happened. One of the relationships that happened through the course of podcasting was with Simon Dixon of Dixon Baxi, and of course Apoorva, who he also runs the agency with. However, with Simon, there was we're both Yorkshiremen, we're both Leeds fans, and there was something that I felt there, just a little pull towards Simon. And I was also, he's very prominent on LinkedIn. Those of you on LinkedIn will know Simon Dixon from his continuous, generous, giving back of learned advice from the position of a guy who runs an agency with 50 staff working with global clients. He's a giver. He loves creativity. We share that. And so does Apoorva. But there was just something, maybe it was the Yorkshire thing, maybe it was the Leeds thing. I don't know what it was, but there was something with Simon, and we would message semi-regularly, and I would always love seeing his updates on LinkedIn because he very much chimed with what I was doing with the creative condition. Now, the second time I went to interview Simon, it was off the back of a new bunch of projects that were doing the rounds that were really cool. One of them was the rebrand of Everton Football Club in the Premier League. Really strong stuff. And the philosophy behind it all, and the kind of note-taking and the post-it wall, and the behind the beautiful way that Dixon Baxi show the agency story, and the value that they place on creativity, on belonging, on joy and exploration and curiosity within that agency is infectious. And I'd started to see more of that. So when the Everton project happened, I got back in touch with Simon, and he's like, yeah, come and have a chat anytime. We'll do it. We'll do another episode. So in I went. And it just so happened that at that time, I was having a bit of a personal crisis. It had been a long, quiet illustration stretch. The commissions weren't coming. To the point, you know, I was starting to doubt whether I could keep paying the mortgage if this malaise didn't change in a couple of months. That's where I was at. It was the longest quiet spell since I started freelancing. And it was scary. I was a new parent at the time, you know? And here I am doing all this creativity stuff. The only money I get, you know, cards on the table for this creativity stuff, is a bit of pocket change from Illustration X, because they've supported the show since day one. It covers my costs. It means I can pay for a hosting account. I could buy a microphone here and there. I can keep the show running. That's essentially what the small payment covers. It's a golden payment because Harry Lyon Smith invested in my future. That's the top and bottom of it. So it might be, it's a very nominal fee. I'm not going to give numbers. That was no need to go there, but it's a very nominal fee. But what it did from day one was it said to me, you're getting a little something in return. You can stick it in your spreadsheet at the end of the month and go, look, I made a small percentage of my income from this new skill that I'm learning. It was more than just money. It was trust from Harry as well, which means the world. It always does. Everything that I do, everything I achieve, everything I enjoy, everything I fail at, everything I get better at throughout this whole creative condition thing, to a degree, I have Harry to thank, and that nominal payment has played a big part. But the guilt that comes with that is you look at that number on a spreadsheet and you go, that's not covering anything. That's not even covering my utility bill these days. And what that means is you feel innately guilty. Well, not innately, you feel extremely guilty because, you know, you look inside and you go, those kids that are running around in that house, if I don't sort this shit out, I'm going to have to move them out. We're going to have to sell the house. That's the reality. They're the thoughts that you have, and it triggers a very evolutionary response, which is the fight or flight instinct. Panic leads to panic. Negative thought leads to negative thought. So when I went to see Simon the second time, that's where I was at. Now, I would never be desperate. I don't reach out to people and go, I need some work, like I'm in a bad place. You know, it's on me to sort this. And part of the reason for the malaise was the fact that I was putting so much time into this exploration of creativity. But the reason goes back to the reason I went to see Harry Smith, because I felt it and it meant a lot. And I felt the thread. I felt the thread and it was real. And I couldn't deviate now because I put so much work in. And why would I when people like Simon Dixon are having me through the door? So I kept on. You know, the accounts didn't get better. I looked at it. But what happened was we had a magic conversation, Simon, Apoorva and I. And it was round two. I feel it was a better conversation than the first. The first one was wonderful, but this time I'd evolved as a host. I knew a bit more about creativity. And Dixon Baxi had also progressed. So there we were. We had this conversation. It was brilliant. At the end of it, we had a cup of coffee. We had a chat. And I said to Simon, look, I don't know where I'm going with this stuff, but I really love doing it. Because Simon had paid me a really lofty compliment on my skills as an interviewer, my ability to have a conversation that was informal, but to get meaning from it. And that means a lot, because that's the only way I can do it, you know? So because it's real, that means the world to me. And I said, awesome. I want to do more with it. Let's do some stuff. Now, I don't know if you saw, but Dixon Baxi are doing that, the Dixon Baxi Way, their series, their video series. They're great. Go and watch the episodes. We talked about potentially doing something down the road for a future season. We talked about me coming in and doing a talk when the Creative Condition book comes out, which is still in the pipeline. And then he said, I'll connect you with a bunch of people, you know, the people that they just spring to mind when I think of you. And I said, all right, awesome. Didn't know what that meant. Thank you, Simon. That would be brilliant. You've got vastly more experience in the industry than me. That is never a bad thing, especially coming from a guy like you who has got so much favor and trust in our industry, you know, with good reason. So I get the train. I've got my tail up because every time I do one of these episodes or interview somebody, I feel amazing because I learn something new and I have a human connection and I further this cause, which is my driving cause. And within an hour on the train back down to Salisbury from London Waterloo, I get an email connecting me with Hector Ayuso. Now, Hector, you might remember him from a previous episode, is the founder of Off Festival. Arguably the biggest design festival in the world. Within the next hour, from Simon's connection, Hector books me to speak. That's Hector. He's spontaneous. He's curious. That's the reason Off Festival started and the reason he was able to overcome a lot of adversity in the first few years, including financial debt, to keep it going and turn it and have the faith to turn it into what it is today. Now, Hector and I recently had a conversation about the thread, about the unknowable, about the way these things happen, and it was absolutely wonderful. So, Hector books me to speak at Off Festival. I go and speak at Off Festival 2023. My first one, it's in the smaller of the three rooms, still my biggest audience today. There's about 600 people in there. And as part of this thread, I had begun messaging Kelly Causan. Now, Kelly Causan runs Metal and Dust, it's an artist interview series. Go and have a look. Great long form written interviews, very old school in their style, as in written and long form. Really, really great. If you want a bit of mindfulness, tap out of everything else and go and read a bit of Kelly's interviews because they're awesome. And Kelly and I failed to meet at Off Festival, which is pivotal to this story. So we were supposed to meet. Kelly and I were speaking on the same day within about 2 hours of each other on the Saturday, and we both got the jangles. We both got quite nervous. You know, they were both quite personal talks, and for that reason, we got swept away in the momentum of everything, and we didn't meet. So Kelly messaged to say, sorry, we didn't meet. I replied saying, sorry, it's on me too. It's the way it goes. It's fine, but love what you're doing. You seem like you're doing a hell of a lot of interesting stuff. You're a real diverse, creative person. Do you want to come on the podcast? Kelly goes, yeah, love to. We'll sort it out. Busy schedule. We'll do it soon. We eventually talk. Love the episode. Love Kelly. She's awesome. She's going to be at this year's Off Festival coming to visit and say hello. So I might actually meet her this year, which would be awesome. But because we don't meet, we get talking and there are messages flying back and forth. And when we do eventually speak, we get on really well. We have a really good chat. We have a much longer chat than what was on the podcast. Just checking in, just talking art and our stories and creativity. And along the way, Kelly talks about, she mentions Stefan Sagmeister. You know, she's based just outside of New York, I think in Philadelphia now. I think she moved a bit further out to Philadelphia. And don't think anything of it. We carry on talking. About 2 months later, I get an email and it goes, hi Ben, just following up on your interest in interviewing Stefan Sagmeister about his new book. We'd love to get a date locked in for that. And I almost spit my tea out. I go, okay, let's wait a moment. I don't remember sending any such email, but I'm going to go with this. So I reply and I go, awesome. Yeah, love to make it happen when Stefan available. And I think I'm going to get ghosted here because it's Stefan Sagmeister. He's one of the most famous graphic designers of all time. I don't get ghosted. We have an awesome conversation. He's on episode 199 if you want to go back and listen. And please do, because it's been one of the most profound experiences of my life. Not because he's a famous graphic designer or any of that nonsense, like the credibility side of things or name dropping. But because his project, Now Is Better, had a profound impact on my life. It was a bookend to a darker period in my life when I was so exhausted in early parenthood that a lot of things got on top of me. So worrying about the climate crisis and really, you know, getting quite down on what future lay ahead of my children, more so than me. But this book turned it around completely because it's a longer term look at the world. It looks at how, despite all the ills of the world right now, now is arguably the best time to be alive as a human being in regards to the technology we have, the medicine we have, the lack of famine compared to previous eras, the lack of sickness compared to previous eras, the amount of countries that are democratic compared to what used to be one, America. It's a real tonic and it's a beautiful visual approach. And Stefan was just warm and a joy. And as it turns out, Kelly knew him and they'd had a conversation somewhere along the way. And she'd mentioned that she'd been on my podcast. Now that's the, I never did find out if that was the case, but I'm pretty certain that that was what put the Creative Condition on Stefan Sagmeister's radar, and his PR people wanted a piece of it. So I gladly gobbled that pie, and it was amazing. It was an amazing conversation. One of my favourite interviews. Stefan was a joy. We're going again this week at our festival, Friday night, main stage, 6:45. Slightly crap in my pants, but mainly excited. We're going to continue that conversation about optimism, about joy, about curiosity, to attack the problems in the world. He's not making light of anyone's problems, of any wars, of any illnesses. There's shit going on in the world. There always was, there always will be. Some of it is the worst we've ever known, at a scale we've never known. However, his whole point was that you have to find the bravery, find the optimism, and find the conditional optimism to work towards something better. And if you can do that with fun and laughter and enjoyment of the process, you will make a difference. You will make an impact. And, you know, he backs it up with plain old statistics and data, but depicted in a beautiful visually way where he's worked into these classical paintings that he's acquired through his relatives, through auctions, and he's physically cut them out and depicted them in these kind of circular and triangular and geometric to scale pieces of colour on these old paintings. It's amazing. It's very Stefan Sagmeister, but it actually changed my life. It pulled me out of a rut, and ever since then, don't get me wrong, I get my bad days where, you know, I read about biodiversity crisis or AI rising and all this stuff, but again this is evolutionary. The way that we freak, the way that we feel like there's no point in anything, it's false, and we have to overcome it. And that's Stefan's drive, and that's what we're talking about this week at Off Festival. But this goes on, so the thread continues. About a month or so after my interview with Stefan, I get tagged in this status by Olya Protasova, who I mentioned earlier, who I talked to, who is a designer, illustrator, design activist from Kiev, just a wonderful person, an example of positivity in the worst kind of circumstances, you know. She has three children. Kiev's been attacked by rockets and bombs from Russia. That's her reality. And yet, she tagged me in this status, and she was delighted to announce that having heard about Now Is Better, Stefan Sagmeister's new book, through my episode of the podcast, she'd managed to get a translation deal for Ukraine with a publisher Konstantin Kozhemyaka. That blew my mind. I'm sat there with a coffee on a Saturday morning going, oh my God, like my tiny little link in this chain, as in sharing Stefan's book with my relatively small audience, has yielded a book deal in Ukraine. Not only am I delighted to have played this small part in that process, but it blew my mind that a book called Now Is Better garnered an appetite in Ukraine, who are actively being attacked by Russia, who are in a fucking war. So I messaged all you saying, first of all, I can't express how much that means as somebody who studied graphic activism at university, and has always seen the good in creativity and the power of creativity as something more than simple innate artistic talent, but something that bonds and unites us, particularly in times of adversity. To that point, I recently interviewed Athena Aktapis, and her episode is coming out soon. She's a professor at Arizona State University, known in some circles as the zombie professor, because she deals with apocalypse psychology and how humans behave in crisis, and how we come together. Invariably, we unite. Look at the COVID pandemic. Look at the way that all the bullshit got dropped, and all the constructs and all the kind of capitalist fronts in our society, and people were there to help each other and to get through this stuff with some unity. That's been the same throughout history, and that's what Athena's work centers around. So we had this amazing conversation that's coming up on this show. But she highlighted many examples, including the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco, where over half of the city were made homeless. And yet, for 2 weeks, everything got dropped. Everyone came together. People gave away their products for free. People built shelters together. There was the sound of music and mandolins and laughter. And humans do that. We are innately wired to help each other in times of crisis. So that spoke to where Olya was and where the Ukrainian people are right now in the midst of a war, and why there's such bravery and community in that Ukrainian creative community. So that's why I wanted to support and I did the Hockney Soldier episode. But the fact that that book got made, and I asked Olya on the episode about that very notion, and I said, I have to ask you this, but how is now better when you're in a war, when you have three children and you're, you know, you have to spend time in bomb shelters? Stuff that to me is the preserve of black and white footage that my granddad used to tell me about from the Second World War. And she said, I'll tell you what, my grandparents had to go through Holodomor, which was an artificial forced starvation of millions of people. A fucking genocide years ago that is still not internationally recognised as a genocide, because it happened at a time pre-internet, when those poor people who wanted to tell the world what was happening there, that people were dying of hunger, they couldn't do that, and they didn't do that, and it was awful, tragic. So Olya said, so yes, now is better. It's about perspective, it's about bravery, it's about working with what you have. And this, as I'm sitting here with my coffee in the studio, again, I'm having those feelings of, Jesus, that's human spirit there in its finest form. That's the best of humanity. So to think that this link all started with a little conversation with Harry Lyon Smith and has led me now to this place is just unbelievable. So that's more or less where you find me, you know, off the back of that. Like I said, I'm talking to Athena activists, you know, professors in Arizona about apocalypse psychology. And this is a journey that just keeps on going. And I'm going to ride it until the wheels fall off, because it feels amazing. And I'm just trusting that somewhere along the way, whether it's a combination of sponsorship for that podcast, book sales, talks, I don't care what it looks like. If it involves me talking to human beings and championing the cause of creativity, I'm going to keep on going. And in between all that, I'm going to keep being an illustrator, because I love illustration and I love being an illustrator. And the balance of the two is what energizes me and gets me out of bed feeling pretty fucking good in the morning. So, you know, that's where you find me. It's off festival this week. Hector Ayuso and I have built a wonderful bond. Simon Dixon supported my Kickstarter campaign. He bought a 3D printed skull, an original artwork, one of the bigger pledges, through Dixon Baxi. They wanted to support me as an agency. Do you know how much that means as someone who sits here alone in their studio each day? That means the world. And it's awesome. And we're all doing it from a place of passion for where we're going and who we're meeting and what we're doing. And it feels really, really good. So I implore all of you to do the same. And there's something happening at the minute that I can't talk about just yet, and it's a project with Hector. And as part of this project, and the groundwork, Hector and I were having a long-form conversation. And along the way, you know, I asked Hector how he kept going in those first few years of Off Festival, when he was carrying a lot of personal debt and there was a lot of major risk year to year to keep the festival going, when, you know, with no financial gain. My question was, how the hell do you carry that stress and keep that thing going to get it to where it is today with all them people coming from all over the world? And he said, it's the reason you're doing it. It's the reason you're doing it. If you feel it and it's got that thread, that unknowable journey, it's an addiction. And you keep on and you find a way, and that's how greatness happens. And as he said this, I jotted down the reason you're doing it, because it just jumped out. What he said had resonance and it had spirit in it, and I knew that it meant something to him. So I jotted it down next to, you know, next to where my microphone was as we're recording this conversation. And I take a picture of it on my phone and I go, there's something about this that screams at me. It's what you said, and it just sounded great. I don't know, why I'm sending it to you, but here it is. So I sent him the photograph of what was done in like a felt tip pen. It was scrawled down, the reason you're doing it, in my hand lettering style. And I said, I don't even know if you'll like it, but here it is. And he messages me about 2 hours later and goes, check your Instagram. And I look on Instagram and he's gone, hey, Ben Talon, do you think I like what you sent? And there's a picture of Hector there with a neck that's red raw, a combination of red ink and a little bit of blood. He's gone and got the thing tattooed on the back of his neck, bigger than my palm. And I've gone, whoa, are you for real? I'm thinking it's some kind of an AI wind-up, you know? But this is Hector. He's got loads of tattoos. He's a spontaneous guy. He's lived a life full of colour and adversity and overcoming adversity and successes, and he's awesome. And we've built a relationship. And it was just, it was amazing. It's the biggest compliment you can ask for. Someone to go and get your work permanently inscribed on their skin. And that was amazing. And that's where you find me. Off festival this week. Speaking to Stefan Sagmeister on the Friday night, 6:45 on the main stage, on the Root stage. If you're there, come and join us in conversation. I want to leave you all in a place so optimistic that you can't sit still, that you're climbing the walls at the Design Museum in Barcelona. Because we have to feel good. We have to feel optimistic. And that's not making light of the troubles. But we have to attack them troubles. We have to confront them. And we have to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And if we follow that thread, who knows where it leads? I hope that story has illustrated that point for you today. Thank you for listening. Big thank you to the founding sponsor of the show and the Kickstarter of everything to do with the creative condition, Illustration X. Go and check out their global range of illustration and animation portfolios now, illustrationx.com. Thank you again to the Ukrainian Institute. I hope after what we've talked about today, you will take the time to check out and share a little bit of their work. It's the least you could do. And if you've got anything left in the tank, please do rate, review and subscribe to the show. I know I say that every week, but it is hard work getting people to take that action. I hope you'll consider it because it really does support and help me grow the show. And if today hasn't illustrated my passion for creativity and that this isn't just a blind venture to make some money, then I don't know what will. Cheers for listening, guys. The Creative Condition is coming out on the 11th of April in book form. You can pre-order now. You can pre-order signed copies at bentallenwriter.com. I am working to try and get the thing sorted on Amazon. In print form, it is not as easy as you'd think. I'm banging on a few doors there. It will happen eventually, one way or another. The ebook is available on Kindle. I'm working on the audiobook as we speak. So for you people who love this show, it will be coming in this ravaged old twin parent voice. Thank you, guys. Take care. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see you at Off Festival. If you're there, hit me up on WhatsApp or drop me a message on social. I will try to keep an eye on them, or my email, or wherever you're going to pop up. Come and have a coffee. Come and have a beer. We'll see you there. We'll chat next week. Nice one, guys. Take care.